Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. As we near wrapping up our Focus on Family series, I'm so excited to bring back my friend Val Werner. Val Werner owns Val Marie Paper Co., and she has the best prayer journals that really help us focus on growing our prayer lives. Val is a leader in prayer for our generation, and I'm just so thankful for her and her heart behind her company. Does the idea of praying for your family seem overwhelming or something that we could just give over to our moms and grandmas? What if we took the practice of prayer seriously? What if we took 5 to 10 extra minutes a day to intentionally pray for our families, our kids, our world, our marriages, our friends, and just life? It's important that we model this for our families, but it's also important that we actually do it and put it into practice. I'm so excited to share this conversation about prayer with you. It's so, so good. So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited. I'm sitting down with my friend Val Werner. Val, you're back for the second time.
Yes, I'm so excited.
I love hanging out with you. It is so fun. And we just got to chat for a little bit beforehand just to catch up and all of that. And man, you're such a sweet friend. I'm just so thankful for you.
Thank you. This is fun. I love this.
We are in our Focus on Family series, and I emailed you immediately as soon as I had this idea, and I was like, Val, we need to talk about praying for our family because you are just known for... Man, I really hope that you hear this because I want to feel like I'm constantly like fangirling you or affirming you, but I want you to know that like your legacy is going to be for our generation praying for their family and praying for our nation and praying just in general. So when I thought about like, how do we focus on our family? Well, one of the key things we need to be doing is praying for our family. And so I was like, Val, we need to have a conversation. Can we hang out again? Really, this is just me being like, Val, can we hang out again? I have some questions. So I really am so honored to talk to you about prayer because this is something that you have modeled for so many of us. And I'm just so thankful for that.
Thank you so much. I am grateful just that, honestly, the Lord let me be a part of this. I feel like anybody could have done this, and I'm just grateful he let me do it.
Yeah. Before we jump in, what's in your cup?
Oh, okay. I have two drinks. I have a raspberry. What's it called? It's a raspberry tea. They got rid of my favorite one, so it's a little different. It's just like a herbal tea and water.
And water. I have been obsessed with, I don't know if you know this, but we got COVID. Our family all had COVID a couple weeks ago. Yeah. And so I still have like the residual cold and medicine ball teas, but I make them at home. Yeah. Mm. It's just been my jam. So I have a medicine ball tea.
That's awesome.
It's delicious. So I can't smell it, but I can taste it.
So that's crazy. Good. That is so crazy. Yeah.
The not smelling
all
thing
the healthy
so weird.
Food right now.
Yes. Yeah. We are just like, we're recovered, and I'm so thankful for that. So it's good. Yeah. Okay. You were a guest on podcast before almost exactly a year ago. And we talked all about your book, Grumpy Mom Takes a Holiday, a book that I loved and I passed around to so many of our friends. I want to hear just a little bit about like, how do you feel now that that book has been out well over a year? Like, how are you feeling about Grumpy Mom Takes a Holiday?
Yeah. It's so interesting because I'm starting to hear or see more and more people talk about, the idea of like the stereotypes that they could be more damaging for motherhood.
Yeah.
So that's cool. It's just like, just to know that that message is permeating and not necessarily from the book even, but just that, like we're thinking about that topic. We're not as just kind of like unaware of how the negative stereotypes about motherhood could affect us, you know? Yeah. So yeah, it's been refreshing. And I got a message the other day about somebody who's rereading the devotional that we created with it, like for the fourth time. And she was just saying, like, you know, it's like a message you need to keep, you know, in your heart. And that's just crazy to hear that about words you wrote, you know?
Yeah, it is. And it's so sweet because when we write devotionals, we're just kind of like, we're bringing the truth of the word out, but we're also just sharing our heart behind it. Like, mm-hmm. hey, this passage really meant a lot to me because this is what I was walking through. And then those become like pillars in our lives. And then other people like see that. And so when like my devotional, I talked about Moana and I got a DM from somebody the other day. It was like, I watched Moana with my family again for like the millionth time, but mm-hmm. I saw it through different eyes this time. And I was like, oh,
yes,
I'm so
glad. Awesome.
I'm so glad. Yeah. I'm glad that Disney movies can help you see God in your calling in a really neat way.
it's amazing.
It's so fun. It is so humbling. I think that's the thing. It's just like the most humbling thing to be like, oh, I'm so thankful that like my words, but it's like my journey helped you.
Yeah, so cool. Your journey. Exactly.
I want to talk about prayer and mm-hmm. we can start however you want, but praying for our family is something that I think we just kind of left it up to our moms and our grandmas. Mm-hmm. So where did your heart for prayer kind of like start and how has it changed in the last few years?
Yeah. So I felt like, honestly, like whenever I had kids, I was like worried about not praying as much because I wouldn't have the designated time in the morning, but having kids made me pray more because there were so many, and it wasn't even like super deep prayers. It was like, we're praying because Vivi hurt her foot, or, you know, like we're praying because they're fighting and we just need to like calm the tension. But I think it started like that. And then there's so many moments in motherhood where you're just like, I literally cannot do this without the Lord, without prayer. So I think like that's kind of how it started. And then as it continues, I see my girls growing up. I have a 7-year-old, I have a 4-year-old. I have been praying for their salvation, for them to walk with the Lord, you know, since they were born. And that's important to me. I pray for them living in this world that we're in right now, that they would be strong. And not that, like, you could live in a fear of this world of just like, what is happening right now? What are my kids, as fast as things are changing, what are my kids going to be living in? And I can't sink into that. I have to sink into, Lord, make them strong to where they can be strong in those situations. Yeah. So I don't know if that really answers the question. But
yeah, it totally does. Because the habits that we started when our kids were little were just like the little moments of prayer that kind of, mm-hmm. that you hope stick, right? It's kind of like,
yeah.
we do so many things as moms that we just like hope and pray that a few things like stick and they follow through. And one of the sweet things is, we've always, anytime an ambulance or fire truck runs by mm-hmm. us, we're like, you know, dear Jesus, be with those, be with the first responders, be with the people that they're helping, help everybody be safe. Like, it's just like the easiest, quickest little thoughts that we can come up with. But to me, that sets a habit of prayer for my kids going forward. It's just like teaching them to say they're sorry. Like when we do something wrong, we teach them, okay, you need to go to them, ask for forgiveness, say you're sorry, mm-hmm. in hopes that when they're adults, when something is wrong, they will say they're sorry.
Yeah. And you're teaching them, like, I know that's what I appreciate about my mom was like, we prayed a lot as a kid and it was because I was always anxious or worried about something, but we always went to prayer. So it taught me very early on that God cares about everything. It wasn't like we only go to him for big things or mm-hmm. we only go to him for meal times. So it really did instill that, like, God cares about everything. And not everybody that I know now, like, that I'm do life with or talk to about prayer had that growing up. So you could see it or you could hear it in the way that they talk about prayer. So that, I think that's something that would you know, just be something that would be instilled in them too, as we pray a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so good. I think that you're right because sometimes prayer seems like our last resort. Like, and mm-hmm. especially if we haven't built a habit of prayer, it's like, oh my gosh, what do? I just need to pray. And it's kind of like when you hit that like last thing that you could possibly do. It's like, okay, I need to pray about this. And it's like, well, what if we actually prayed the whole time? What if we actually like turned even in our just easy moments of just like the communication, like the easy communication that we have with the Lord. And one of the things that God's really shared with, like, just kind of like poured in my heart this last year has been like, show your people, show my people that like, I'm their friend. Yes. God is like this, the sovereign God of the universe, and he's huge and he is mighty, but he also pursues us as a friend. And so if we can make time with our friend God daily to communicate with him, then that builds our relationship with him.
Yeah. Yes. And one thing, like, I feel like when people talk about, like, how do you impart God to kids in a way that will stick, you know, I think a lot about, like, making sure that they understand that God is alive. And, you know, just going off of you saying, like, talking about him as a friend, like, that it's not a dead God. Or, like, there's interaction that happens. Like, he's alive. He's responding. Like, when we pray and God answers, we need to share how God answers with our kids. Yeah. Because they need to see that he's alive. Because when they get to be 18 or 20, they're going to have a choice of whether to follow him or not in a more, you know, like, when they go off to college. Or, like, they're gonna have be surrounded by, like, just a whole different world. And I feel like if they know that God is alive, it won't be this like, okay, well, I'm deciding between kind of like just a church that I would go to on Sundays, or, you know, like a powerful God who wants a relationship with me, who, as I listen to him, I'm getting to walk in his plan. Like, that's two totally different things. And prayer is one way that we can really, really show our kids that, that he's alive.
It's one of the sweetest things. So, you know, Zoe, my daughter, is from Africa. She's deaf. Mm-hmm. And it's that same prayer that you have for your girls. Like, Lord, just, like, save her soul. Let her see you in such a really real way. And I see little glimpses of this, like, as she, like, when she broke her leg, she's like, can you please pray for my leg? Can you please pray? And so, to me, it's like, prayer connects us with our Heavenly Father. And so if we teach our kids that that's the connection, then when they are struggling with their faith, what is the one thing that they're going to know to do? They're going to know that if they're questioning some stuff, they need to talk to the God that created them so that they can kind of like work that out with him. So I think it's just really, really sweet. And we set these like little habits of prayers with our kids early on, but then we have to make the decision for ourselves. So I want to know, like, how can we make prayer our first stop? Like we said, like, instead of it just being like a last resort, how can we make it our first stop, and how can we make prayer like a priority? And I think it's something you do really well.
Yeah. So, it's so funny, like, cause I'll still go through phases where I'm like, I haven't really been praying for the girls besides like, you know, these big or like just really basic things like, if Vivi has a cold or whatever. But, one thing just practically that helps me is whenever they are in bed at night and I go to like turn out their light, or, you know, Vanna, before she was fully potty trained, we'd like wake her up when we go to bed to take her to go potty. And then, but I always like just put a hand on them and I just pray over them. And it's something that was, you know, it fits the routine already. So it's easy to do. It's easy to make a habit of it. But it's also like, they're finally quiet. And, so they're not interrupting, but I'm actually getting to be with them and pray over them. And it's just like really, I don't know. Like, it's just a sweet way that I get to like pray for things that are not like, you know, a test or, you know, like it's the way whenever I get to pray those really intentional things that are just not the everyday things, if that makes sense.
And tell me, are you spending 5 minutes over each girl every night, or is it just a quick, like, Lord, like, you know, the plans you have for this child, and I just pray that you will continue to move in their lives, or what kind of, like, I guess not like how much time, but like just kind of like that tangible aspect of like, it doesn't have to be this 30-minute hands-on prayer.
It's literally 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that when you do that, you kind of like get up, you walk out, with a more prayerful attitude. Mm-hmm. So, like, I usually go take a bath after that. So, like, I will take my journal and put it in my bathroom while I take my bath. And so it kind of, like, sets that time up.
Yeah.
Or you just basically, I don't know how to say that.
No, and I think that's great. My point was, like, you're not, like, over them for 30 minutes of time. It's just, like, you're pouring your heart out to the Lord for your children on behalf of them. And that's your habit, that's your routine, and that's the easy thing. I have a prayer journal that I sit down with every morning. It's a part of my, like, I make my coffee, I sit down, I do whatever Bible reading I'm doing, and I pull it out, and it's everything's, like, written out in for the month, just like yours, and I just, like, read over it. Like, this is what I'm praying, and then there's, like, a scripture that I pray for the kids, which is, I'll have to think about what the verse is. It's, like, my prayers that the Tapley kids will lean not on their own understanding, but that they will. And so I just, like, pray, like, the Tapley children, like, each of my children, that they will trust you and know you. And it's praying the Bible over them, but they're also, like, not in our house. So I'm just, like, praying that as they're at school. So it's just that habitual time to pray for our children and our husbands.
Well, and I think that's what one thing. As I'm thinking about this, I'm remembering I read Stormy O'Martian's book, The Power of a Praying Parent. Mm. And she just covers so many things. And she actually talks about this one story. It stuck with me. Her and her group of, like, that group of parents that prayed together, they prayed together for like 20 years for their kids. And she was like, none of them got into, like, really bad, you know, trouble. Nobody passed away at a young age. Like, and we know that that's not, like, a prescription that, like, nothing will happen in our lives. But it does let us know that, like, the things that the pain that's avoidable in this life through prayer and, like, making wise decisions will happen through prayer or can happen through prayer. So being able to, like, pray for my kids and know that, like, they don't have to go through certain hardships. Some we just choose because we make foolish choices or whatever. But just to know that, like, we want to protect them from the things that they don't have to experience. You know, we want them to go through the things that are going to grow them and change them. But there's some things that's not necessary for them to, or I don't know if that totally makes sense, but I think there are things that are avoidable that the Lord shields us from as we ask him. And I mean, like, the scripture says that we have not because we ask not. And I want to be asking not just for, you know, provision, different things like that. I want to be asking for my kids to be protected and for my kids to be wise and my kids to make good decisions. And, you know, if they get married, to have a spouse that supports them and loves God too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's so important. And I think it's more than just modeling it, because I was going to say it's really important that we model this thing, and I think that that's very true, but it's also important that we're doing it, right? Like, it's important, and I think that we've seen that as far as, like, I don't know if your grandma, like, was one of those praying grandmas, but mine was, and my mom, and there's times even now where I, like, kind of, like, shake my head and roll my eyes at my mom. I'm like, oh, Mom, it's fine. Like, she's like, can I please put it on the prayer chain? I'm like, sure.
Like,
sure, Mom. And so it's so sweet. And I'm so thankful that I come from a prayerful legacy.
Yeah.
Because that is going to serve me well, and it's going to serve my children well. And I hope to, you know, continue to carry on that legacy.
I didn't have grandmas that prayed for me. My mom's mom, or no, my mom's grandma, she prayed for her. Mm. And my mom had a very rough childhood. But she, I know when we talk, it's always credited with those prayers from her grandmother. I got to talk to Tyler's, my husband's grandma, who is a prayer. And I was reading this old book and they were talking about prayer chains at church. And I was like, I want to bring this back, you know? And she was just like, oh yeah, we did that. It was just so funny to talk about. Like, I had never heard of that.
You really?
I really hadn't. And I'm like, you know, I think it kind of faded away because it had probably become something where it's like, oh yeah, you know, like, it was so common. Mm-hmm. But having, like, hearing this for the first time, I'm like, I want to start this. I want to have, like, we don't just mass text. We don't just put it on Facebook. We have one person that we call, and then they pray, and then they tell the next person. Like, that seems so beautiful to me. Yeah. And I'm sure it got worn out.
I think, and I'll tell you, I'll tell you, like, the behind the scenes of what I saw with the prayer chain was it turned into, like, a gossip train. But I think that there can be really, really unique ways to do it where it's, like, you're going to stop and pray on the phone or pray together and then pass it on and pray. Instead of, well, you know, so-and-so's daughter, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no. That's not what we're doing here. We're actually, like, petitioning on behalf of this and praying. And I think that that's a really, like, it is beautiful. That's funny. I've never, you know, I'm a pastor's kid. So, like, to me, I'm like, oh, put it on the prayer chain, whatever.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network, and now a message from a network supporter.
Do you want to memorize more of the Bible, but struggle to actually do it? Dwell Differently has developed unique ways to help you memorize one Bible verse each month. They take the first letter of each word in a verse, create a cool design, and then put that design on a key tag, a note card, or a temporary tattoo, letting you take God's word wherever you go. How great is that? They also post daily inspiration on Instagram, share weekly devotionals on their website, and host a podcast, all meant to help you apply this verse to your life. If you're just getting started with your faith or long to go deeper, Dwell Differently is a great way to start. To join their monthly program, visit dwelldifferently.com. That's dwelldifferently.com. Now, back to today's show.
Do you ever feel like your prayers hit the ceiling?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I feel like it was like that for months. In 2016, I know I'd mentioned, Tyler's dad passed away, mm-hmm. and that was probably the biggest prayer that I feel like I was, we had a newborn baby.
Yeah.
And my husband would go see his dad for lunch, and they lived like 30 minutes away. So, you know, it was consuming a lot of his time, which rightly so. And I feel like I couldn't help as much. So I would stay home with Vanna, and I would just walk around and pray. And I felt like I've never prayed as much as I prayed in those months. And then to just feel like it was like, nope, not going to happen, was hard. But at the same time, we saw a lot of answered prayers. Like, we saw certain prayers hit the ceiling.
Yeah.
You know, feel like that. But I think what kept my faith, or what kept me from feeling like God doesn't care, God doesn't love us, was a lot of answered prayers. Like, part of our prayer was that that would not be in a lot of pain. And like the fact that it did happen so quickly, like, we, you know, that's an exhausting experience for the spouse. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we, to picture Miss Tyler's mom going through that for like a year, like, would, like, that would just would add so many layers to the pain. Or I know one of Tyler's prayers was that his mom wouldn't see, like, that whenever he actually did pass, it wouldn't be like he had just read stories about those final moments. And it was just, you know, he's like, I don't want my mom to see that. And it wasn't like that at all. It was peaceful. And there was several of those things where you're just like, God is carrying us through. Mm-hmm. He did not respond how he hoped. And we don't know why, you know, like, there was no like, okay, this is why this even, you know, they're still not. That was 5 years ago. And they're still not. But we trust God because we saw him alive in those moments. We didn't feel abandoned, and we really felt carried through that season. But yeah, there. What I usually pray for whenever I do feel like God is not coming through on something that I pray for, I'm using air quotes, like, coming through. But, like, I ask that he would just give us little victories where we get to see him. And he is very faithful in that. Like, he wants us to know that he's still there. He doesn't want us to feel abandoned. So for anybody who does feel like their prayers are hitting the ceiling, just pray for him to reveal himself in small ways, even if it's not the one way that we are expecting him to. Yeah.
I think that little victories, because we know that little victories compound, right? Like, but when it's like, when we're praying for something so big and so audacious, right? Like, we're like, let's pray for, like, big things, because we believe for big things, but then we're seeing, like, this big thing just kind of, like, sit there, but we're not seeing all the little things that God is putting in place ahead of us, and how that big thing might be a no, but the way God has answered little prayers is going to take us in a whole nother direction that's going to be even better than we thought. And we believe that. Like, Scripture says that, like, exceedingly abundantly beyond anything we could ever ask or imagine. And so if we're praying for big things, be looking for small things that are going to add up to something so crazy big.
Yeah, like, don't get fixated on the big thing to where, like, you can't even see everything that's going on around. Because, I mean, I think that happens a lot. And it shakes our faith when those things happen.
Well, it shakes our faith, and then it does even feel like even more, like, are you even hearing me? Are you even, like, are you paying attention? Our church just talked about Elijah. Yeah, Elijah? Elisha. With the fire from down from heaven. So he just performed this, like, amazing miracle. God showed up, all of this stuff. And then Jezebel says, I'm coming for you. Like, you're going to die. And he's like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
And it's like, and God's like, hey, lay down, take a nap, eat some food. We'll resume in the morning.
Yeah.
And I feel like that so often we see God do, like, these really big things. And then something, like we were saying, like one naysayer or one person kind of comes at us and hurts us. And we're like, well, there it goes. Everything's out the window because God didn't answer the prayer the right way, or because I thought it was going to look like something different. And God's like, hey, calm down.
Yes.
Eat some food, take a nap. We'll talk tomorrow.
we talk about that. We don't have this product anymore. I don't think it's prayer memoirs, but it's basically like writing out God's answered prayers to you in your life. And, answered prayers are so important because they do remind you in moments that you aren't seeing God, that you've been in moments where you didn't see God and he was working. It's like you don't see the behind the scenes right now, but you saw the behind the scenes of that last thing that happened. And it should build your faith, you know, like it can do that. So,
Well, I think that's so important on why I love your journals, because we write things out. So you can look at your journal from 3 years ago and see where you were hung up on, where God delivered you, how he answered those prayers. And I'm a big fan of, like, the Ebenezer stones. Like, that's an Ebenezer of our faith. Like, this far the Lord has brought us. And so I think that that's just a really unique thing. And that's why your products are so immensely important for us. I think, like, writing things out, because I will be like, squirrel, and, like, forget that I'm praying, right? Like, so having something that we write in and write down and are focused on really points our faith for the future.
Yeah.
You recently just pulled back from Instagram completely.
Yes.
I want to hear about it.
Yes. So, we did this signature, we called it the signature challenge, like praying for one thing for the month of January every day. And, my thing was actually different, my health. Getting in the word and praying every single day, and not just praying every day, because typically I'll pray every day at least a little bit, but this was writing out like a page in my prayer journal every single day. And that is something that I used to do maybe like once or twice a week. But I was consistently with him and consistently like hearing from him that I decided to get off Instagram. And it was crazy because I have always been somebody who gets really inspired seeing other people share about it, why they're leaving Instagram, but I never thought I could actually do it. You know, it's always this thing like, oh, that would be so cool if, you know?
Yeah.
And I think like what I was so grateful for was just how confident I felt in that decision, because it is a scary decision and it could have only come by like the Lord pressing in and giving me that clarity. Because even like throughout conversations of like talking to my husband, my life coach, or like friends, like, where am I going to regret this? Or what things are going to come up that are going to make me feel like I need to be here? And every time they would ask me something, I had it thought through. And it wasn't because I just am a planner even. It was just like, it was nice to be able to be asked something and to feel like you had a solid answer for it. And it wasn't like I was shaken every time those things came up. So yeah, I left Instagram. We still have like a presence with our business page, and the two girls who work for me doing social media are handling that. And we kind of had a conversation about whenever I kind of like thought like, okay, I think I might need to get off Instagram. I never wanted to do that if it was going to be more of a burden on them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how can I be like the one to say like, hey, I'm getting off Instagram, like y'all have to stay on. Like, I didn't want to do that. But when we talked, they were like, this is not a struggle for us because, that you know, when they get on the business page, they do the business and they get right. off. It's they don't get sucked in like I do with like just everything yeah. after hours and everything like that. So it worked out. We did that and it's been maybe 10 days. No, it can't, maybe not even that long. Maybe it has it only been a week? It's only been a week.
Time goes but, fast.
yeah, but I feel so good. I feel like I have been able to, like we just have like a lot of family stuff going on. I've been able to help. I've been able to serve a lot more. I feel like I have a lot of ideas for what I want to write about in more like bigger content type things. So I feel like creatively, I feel like I'm able to flourish a little bit more and, you know, it's good. It's good.
I think that's awesome. And I think, like, we were talking before, I'm like, man, I'm anxious to talk to you about this because we can get so sucked in. It can be such a time suck. It can be such a, some people can say, like, oh, I get inspired by Instagram. And yeah. oftentimes I'm like, ooh, that was a good thought. And kind of, like, think about it, pray about it on my own. But then I'm, like, stifled because I'm like, well, I don't want anybody to think I'm copying their content. Well, I don't want to think. Yeah. And so I get so, I second-guess myself into this crazy loop. But the one thing I've done, and I've been really, really proud of myself for how I've done it, is I've put strict boundaries on it. And if Jesse's home and I'm working and I'm on my phone on Instagram, he's like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be working. I'm like, well, technically Instagram is part of my job. He's like, yeah. No. This is work time. And so he calls me out a lot. He told me yesterday that he was going to put a parent lock on my Instagram apps.
Yeah. Yeah. I have Hannah Brencher has talked about that. She has like the time limit yes. on it. And then her husband knows her.
Yes.
The code to like add more time or whatever.
Right. Yeah. But you have to like humble yourself to be like, can you please add more time?
Yeah, I know.
So well, I need that.
Honestly, like I feel like I've tried so many things yeah. and it just hasn't worked. So I guess all or nothing in this has been made the difference, you know, like, because yeah. I know other people can manage things a little bit better and God bless them.
If you can, for sure. But I think, I'll say like, I've struggled with that too. And I love that you were able to step away and let just the business page have its thing, because there's that lie that was like, if we have online businesses, then we have to show up here.
Yeah.
And it's yeah. like, well, or if you want to write another book, you have to have this amount of engagement. If you want to yeah. do this, you have to do this. And it's like, man, when did these rules become like have to's?
Yeah.
Like it's kind of a bummer.
Well, I did talk to my publisher just because
yeah.
that's probably been the thing that has been hardest. It's like, oh, I'm under contract. They, you know, give you an advance based on like how many books they think you can sell. I don't want to like. That has been my excuse probably for 2 or 3 years, right. you know? But I ended up talking to them and just letting them know what we were planning on doing instead. Like, this is a positive
yeah.
experience. They know we want to sell a lot of books this year. We have committed to it. We have prayed about it. We have a number that we feel like God is calling us to do. And that doesn't change because we're off social media. What it means is that we're just putting that energy into different things. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, I feel like being on social media has kind of been like this default of like, well, we'll just get sales from social media. And whenever we first started talking about like getting off, we came up with like 3 ideas that were like, we never would have come up with this if we were dependent on social media. But because, you know, we're like, we still got to sell journals. We still, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
We do sell a lot whenever I share stuff. So it's like it's not like you're just, oh, I can get off because it's not going to affect me. It's like it will, but,
right.
but you're doing different things.
Yeah. You're supplementing in different ways and more creative yeah. ways. Like you were saying.
Yeah.
I love that.
It pushes you.
Yeah.
Creative limits always push you, you know?
Yeah. And you're so active on your blog too, that if you had like more things to say, that you're so active there, that that's a really unique spot to share.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'll be sharing a lot.
We believe that there is a season for everything under the sun. That's what Ecclesiastes tell us. Right now, it's time for us to have coffee. What is it time for in your life right now?
Yeah. So it is time I don't want to get heavy. So I have,
go for it. You know me. I don't have walls. I have speed bumps.
So this year I really committed to celebrating milestones with my people. Mm. And I even kind of shaped my work schedule around, I have a sister-in-law and a sister who are pregnant and both having babies within 3 weeks of each other May and June. And it's our first little cousin. So we've been, waiting for a couple of years now for that and excited. But there's that. And then I mentioned my a family member found out they have cancer last week. So I honestly just feel like family and I'm in a season of just being the supportive role for mm-hmm. people. A lot of my life, I feel like I've been the center of attention, as part of my family. And, I have a twin sister, and we'll joke about that. She would always sing Ashley Simpson's song about living in the shadows.
Oh, yeah.
She'll just belt it out, or we'll just tease each other. But a lot of our life has been about me and Tyler and our family, because we were the only ones with kids on both sides for mm-hmm. the last 7 years. And I just feel really excited to be in a different role. We're grateful for how people have been so supportive for us. And I feel like we're in a season of we're showing up for people like they've never seen us show up before in our lives. And, I know I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. And I think that it's my best friend and I will joke often about I feel so needy, or I feel man, I really need a lot right now. And we always say, well, it's your turn, or it's my turn, or I'm so thankful that there's seasons where we can be poured into and kind of really, really flourish because of that. But because of that, and because we have deep roots and we have been so filled up, we are able to turn around and fill others. And so it's so exciting. And some of that is really fun stuff where you're able to celebrate babies and really that new season of life. And the other part is you're able to be a support system for your family members and love on them in a really unique way. And that's really, really special.
Yeah. And it's interesting how those things, serving just brings you joy. You know, mm-hmm. We're at the end of winter we're close to the end of the winter in Louisiana.
Yeah.
But, I'm naturally melancholy, so I am feeling it just from the dreary days. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how getting out and serving somebody else has been, yesterday helping my grandpa move. We moved boxes for a couple of hours, and it was that was the best I had felt in a couple of weeks, you know? So yeah. It's interesting how God put that on our hearts at the beginning of the year. And, we expected it to look one way. We're planning showers for those sisters, and then, but to be walking through cancer and, just different grief with other family members I am grateful to get to support them in it. And that's that sounds weird to say grateful, but I wouldn't want anybody else to be there to support them,
I
would want to be able to do that and not have so much work that I feel I can't do that because, mm-hmm. If this had happened in December, I would be so scattered and...
Yeah. Val, where can we find your books and your journals and the business on Instagram?
Yeah. You can find everything at Val Marie Paper. We have books in Amazon and bookstores, has Grumpy Mom and everything like that. And on Instagram, it's Val Marie Paper.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. Val, thanks for hanging out and thanks for sharing your heart for prayer with us and just some practical tips and tricks of how to pray for our family better.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
I really hope that you loved meeting Val. And if this is your first time hanging out with her, be sure to go back and listen to episode 55. She was on almost 2 years ago. I can't believe it's been that long. It was a really great conversation about her book, Grumpy Mom Takes a Holiday, and about the stigmas and stereotypes that we put on motherhood. So go listen in. I think you'll love it. And I hope that you have a great week. I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com.
I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.